Fuck Todd. Fuck Todd.
Hey, everybody. I'm Todd. Fuck me. I've never had a cavity. That's why Steve Falk is mad at me, because I've never had a cavity.
I'm mad at something he has no control over that is really good for him.
You're basically mad at entropy.
I guess.
And how it has not affected his teeth as much as ours.
I'm mad at the unfair allocation of entropy.
Well, there was a lot of fluoride in my well water growing up.
My, entropy hit my hair and my teeth.
My hair is thinning in back.
Oh, poor baby.
My Jufro is slightly less frozen.
I'm slightly dancing.
Shut up. You guys are jerks.
I'm going to gently house into the night.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast.
I'd even take Woody Harrelson at this point.
Yeah.
The little downy kind of thing he has.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Motherfuckers.
I can barely even generate a half decent Statham at this point.
But Statham doesn't have, he's shaved. He's bald. Just like,
yeah, but he's receding.
Do you remember when Vin Diesel claimed that he wasn't bald?
No.
And he would stipple like as if he had shaved his head.
Oh, like when Stephen Miller put on all that fake hair.
Yeah, that topic. Oh, that was the best.
It's the Film Pigs podcast. I'm your host this October of 2019.
We're just
going to
talk about hair now.
Male hair cops.
We've moved on from movies. We're talking about our hairs.
Who's bald in Hollywood? Oh, I know some answers to that one, you guys. I'll tell you off the air.
I'm your host this Halloween episode. I'm here with Steve Skelton. And Steve Falk.
Spooky.
Yeah, he's spooky. Oh, my God. Oh, there's candy. I brought candy for you guys.
Oh, candy.
Hey, candy.
Wait, candy. Now this is just rubbing this no cavity thing in.
I know.
You guys should eat some candy.
You're a cop.
Eat it. There's Reese's.
What is this crackle? Has it been melted and then reformed?
If you don't want to give it to
did
me.
Did these live in your pocket?
How long were these in your pocket?
Like for hours.
Ugh.
On the way over.
You're Mr. Rooney.
It's crunchy and good. Got milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start the show like we always do, with me with candy in my mouth and talking about some movie news.
You guys, I wrote a joke for my movie news.
Sweet.
You what?
I wrote a joke.
Fantastic. Let's start with your joke for movie news. What's your joke? What's your movie news joke?
Hey, my crack team of journalists came up with this item. After Scorsese and Coppola, now Ken Loach and Fernando Merlet heap more criticism on Marvel movies. Just to compete the elder generation Marvel bashing, Roman Polanski weighed in as well, complaining that there are far too few underage girls for him to sodomize in the MCU. It's like a good first draft.
Yeah, it's solid.
It's good. It's workshopping.
My delivery was kind of bad.
What do you got, Skelton?
I got this is breaking news that is not going to be news to anyone. Box office bust. Gemini Man faces $75 million loss.
Wow.
This should surprise no one because it's a movie with Will Smith and a computer Will Smith that was shot at, 120 frames per second?
Do you know that P&E was $100 million on that?
Yeah, because it was like a hundred and, I can't find the
budget. It's like 120 budget, 100
yeah,
and P&E.
I
mean, that's a lot of money.
Right, no, but to produce a movie shot at a frame rate that no theater can play back.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw the trailer, I thought to myself, who wants to see this?
I still want to see it.
Did you see it?
No.
Because you see anything.
Just about everything, but
you're
that...
You're omnivorous.
That movie did not excite me. I saw Zombieland Double Tap.
Cinematically omnivorous.
Cinemanivorous.
Double Tap was not good, right?
It was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Gemini Man just looked Nothing about it compelled me at all.
No.
But like, it looks like a direct-to-video release.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
and it didn't.
There's two instances of him throwing a motorcycle at himself in the trailer.
Right, but didn't Jet Li do that in the one already?
What?
No, Jet Li used the motorcycle to kill the gay guy from Melrose Place. He used two of them.
Right. My mistake.
Yeah. No worries.
That is a terrible mistake, though.
No worries. It's probably homophobic on your part.
Probably. Somehow.
I'm also not comfortable around motorcycles.
You guys watch The Boys?
Yes. Yeah. I like The Boys.
I kind of like it. Do you guys watch Watchmen?
I watched
it.
I kind of like it.
It was okay. It was interesting, but also, you know, Lindelof and tends to start like Abrams tends to start strong and then meanders pretty quickly. So I want to see cautiously where it goes.
Sure.
Have you watched Creepshow?
No.
On Shudder?
I don't have Shudder.
Get Shudder.
No.
Watch Creepshow.
Stop bullying me.
It's fantastic.
I heard it's doing really, really well.
It's fantastic. Great. You should watch it. Here's my movie news, and it's because of Halloween that I bring this up.
Yeah. You write a hard joke?
No, it's not a joke. No. It's just news.
I wrote a hard joke.
I don't write jokes for fun.
Okay.
This is my...
sad.
As a chore.
This is my movie news. I only do it for money. My movie news, Charles Cyphers, the actor, character actor, is set to return to Sheriff Lee Brackett in the upcoming Halloween Kills.
Uh-huh.
He's the sheriff in the first
Halloween movie. I read that, yeah.
And I thought that was exciting. It's nice to hear that, you know, Charles Cyphers is getting some gigs.
You know what I learned? M. Emmett Walsh is alive.
Is he like, how's he doing?
I just saw him in something.
Oh,
cool. I love Emmett.
What did I see him in?
I don't know. You told us this.
No, I know. He wasn't. It wasn't Watchmen.
If it was Blood Simple,
no, it wasn't Watchmen.
He was the old guy in that.
In what?
Lou Gossett Jr. was.
Yeah,
the guy.
Yeah.
And Emmett Walsh was in something I just watched.
Did you watch Blade Runner? These are old movies. So.
No. He's old in it. He's in it now as a really old guy.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm gonna find out.
Yeah, no, that sounds familiar, but
he's in.
But
he's
it's
in
Lou
something.
Gossett Jr. is the old.
He's 84. It wasn't Blood Simple.
No.
It wasn't Fletch.
No.
I wasn't watching Raising Arizona or My Best Friend's Wedding.
No.
What I was watching was indeed not Christmas with the Cranks or Ordinary People.
He's just scrolling through IMDb podcast.
No, I'm almost there. I hadn't got to IMDb. It wasn't Alice's Restaurant or No Man's Land or the Miyagi Beanfield War. It was, in fact...
We gotta be getting close.
It's not Knives Out, which I haven't seen.
He's in Knives Out.
That's not out yet. All right. He's in Knives Out? Cool.
Apparently, it was The Righteous Gemstones.
The
HBO show?
Yeah.
Was that good?
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. Pretty funny.
You know what I like?
What?
Kit Kat Bar.
Welcome to the TV Pigs.
You know what else I... It's the TV Pigs. You know what else I like?
Mumbling as you eat a Kit Kat.
I like themes.
Ah. Burn,
Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot. I fucked up your segue. I'm really sorry. It was a really good one. But
it'll take a black one. It would have been great.
It would have been great. This is the theme part of the show.
Yeah, this is where we discuss something that's a theme.
good breakdown.
That's like from a fourth grader's essay. This is the theme part where I talk about a theme.
But they hadn't actually completed
they had no comprehension about what a theme is.
I needed to do a theme, so I wrote a theme.
Here's my theme. The theme of this is
the theme of my theme. The theme of my theme is speaking of character actors who are old, these are two character guys we've lost.
Oh, so they're more than old.
They're more than old. They're not old anymore.
They're former.
They're gone. They're in the stars. They're dancing in the stars.
Amongst. Amidst.
Amidst. They're
twixt.
Jumping from star to star.
Speaking of Twix, do you have any Twix?
No, nope. I got Kit Kats and Reese's. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
I don't have any Twix.
Twix would have been nice.
So we're talking about two character actors. Two dudes we've lost in the last couple months.
What should we call it?
They were B-movie staples.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, both of them kind of found a resurgence late in their careers, finding new success in both B-movies and big-time Hollywood projects. They had a lot in common as far as career paths, and both often appeared alongside Pam Grier.
Did one? Oh, yeah, did you're both right. Lots, yeah. also have kind of bad hair work?
They both had weird hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. One plugs, one just scraggly
weirdness.
Weirdness. Yeah. We'll start. I'm talking about Robert Forster.
Yep. Yeah.
And Sid Haig.
Yep. Yep.
We'll start with Forster. He. I don't know. We'll talk about what you guys think about him, but for me, he exuded kindness and empathy always mm-hmm. in his good guy yep. performances. It just seemed like such a good dude. But he was also completely unafraid as an actor to be totally awful when he had to play bad guys, which he did in some cases, unfortunately. I grew up on his movies while I was working in video stores as a kid. There were movies like Medium Cool,
yeah.
where he started as a reporter, caught up in violence erupting in the 1968 Democratic National Convention, and Vigilante, which was a Death Wish ripoff yeah. that is better than Death Wish. And he just always delighted me in these movies with his sort of nice, badass thing that he had going on. He also showed up in supporting roles in movies like Disney's The Black Hole and the Chuck Norris vehicle, The Delta Force. And, of course, famously, he starred in the horror comedy Creature Feature written by John Sayles and directed by Lewis Teague called Alligator. About an alligator that was flushed into the sewers and then ate some chemicals and grew to giant size and started eating everybody in the city. And fun story, Steve Skelton and myself were at a party and Bob Forster showed up at that party.
No, it was just you. I wasn't ever at the party.
Oh, you were not at the party?
I appreciate you trying to include me in it, but...
Why do I think not, you were at I was the party? Not at the party? It was just me?
No, you're the only one that met.
It was just me talking yeah. to Bob Forster. Yeah. That's so weird.
You're like an imaginary friend. You're like Drop Dead Fred.
I mean, maybe I was on his shoulder.
Oh, right.
Yeah, maybe covering. You're covering. Well, the reason why I conflated those things is because I started bending his ear. Because he was really nice. He was a very cool guy. And he was very supportive of young artists. He was kind of famous for that. And he was just an encouraging guy. So because he was so nice, I started asking him about Alligator. And then eventually he said, hey, you should write a sequel. And I did that with Steve Skelton.
Yeah, we did write the sequel.
And we got it to him.
Unauthorized.
Unauthorized sequel. It was called, we called it
Alligator. Alligators, Orgy of Destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got the script to him through our friend. And he said, well, that's clever. And that's all that happened. But the point is that
he said the script was clever, or the fact that you wrote it and got it to him was clever?
I don't know what he was referring
to. Probably a little from column A, column B.
The only feedback I got was, that's clever.
Didn't he eat every day at Silver Spoon in West Hollywood on Santa Monica?
Maybe. I don't know, but that sounds like
that's what I heard. He
story.
Was just sort of yeah. hold court there.
Mm-hmm.
Diner.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would do. In any event, he went through some career lulls. After the
not to be confused with not lulls, the internet
not
lulls.
Not, yeah, not laugh out loud.
No, not
lulls. Career laugh out loud.
Lulls, like downturns.
Yeah, lulls. Yeah, ebbs.
Ebbs to the flows. Yeah, he's right. Ebbing. Yeah. And he did a lot of supporting roles in low-budget movies at that time, like Original Gangstas. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's actually kind of a fun B-movie. It's like the Larry Cohen, another late great guy, got all these blaxploitation stars together.
Oh, right.
It was
like I remember
Pam
that.
Grier,
yeah.
Fred Williamson and all these other people, and Bob Forster played a part in it.
Nice.
It's a fun movie. And then another movie, Uncle Sam, which William Lustig made, which was a 4th of July horror movie about a zombified guy who comes back from, I think, Vietnam, and no one really respects him, and he comes out of his grave and puts on an Uncle Sam suit and starts killing everybody. So he was in that.
Tracks.
And a bunch of stuff like it. But and one of the things that's been circulating about him since he passed away is that he said that he, at this stage in his career, he decided, hey, I'm old. You know, maybe people don't want me as much as they used to, but I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it because as long as I can breathe, then I can keep acting. So that's how dedicated he was to his craft. And I think that's very cool. But after this sort of lull, one Quentin Tarantino brought him back into the four with a part in Jackie Brown.
Yep. Max Cherry.
And he had an amazing chemistry with Pam Grier. I'm not a huge fan of the movie as a whole.
Yeah, but he's so good.
But he's so good. He's so good. And Pam Grier's very
really good.
Good.
Yeah.
And their chemistry together, yeah. Like the scenes they have together are amazing.
It's a fun movie. It's a cool movie.
Yeah, it's cool. It's meanders a bit. But on repeat viewings, which, because I like to punish myself, it's gotten better. And the biggest part about it that's great is the two of them together. And he got an Academy Award.
I like Bridget Fonda.
Nomination. She's good too. I'm not shitting on anybody else in the movie.
I like De Niro in it. He's funny.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the highlight of the film is Pam Grier and Robert Forster together. It's sort of the highlight.
I like the opening shot.
Okay.
I like the trunk scene too.
Yeah, the trunk scene's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He then went on to appear in other studio movies like Mulholland Drive, Me, Myself, and Irene, and of course, the classic Lucky Number 11. Now, more recently,
who could forget?
He appeared in the Gerard Butler actioner's Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, that's right. London, yeah, he's one fallen. Of the generals in the Has Fallen cinematic universe.
Yeah, yeah. He's a general guy, but he wasn't in the last one. And then, of course,
the HFCU. You mean
the HFCU?
The Has Fallen. Oh my god!
And finally, his final performance appearance was in El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
Yep.
Which was released on Netflix on the day of his death.
Has anyone seen it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has anyone liked it?
I liked it.
I liked it.
Good.
I mean, it's what everybody says about it is true. It's
unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
But really good.
But it's totally entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not Breaking Bad because it doesn't have Walter White in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of... Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's about maybe characters that you are... They're fine. They're good. They're fun.
Well, it's not an essential part of that whole story, but it's still... fun.
It's well made.
And it's well made. Performances are all good. And so, yeah, I liked it.
It's like a really great beer's holiday beer. It's like, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
It's a pumpkin spice.
It's the pumpkin spice of the Breaking Bad franchise.
Yeah.
Now, for me personally, the joy that I loved Bob Forster growing up. And loved him into my adulthood.
What was that? What was that diamond salesman movie he did with? Was it Donnie Wahlberg?
Oh,
where he was like the old salesman who was having to train the guy who was replacing him.
Yeah, shit.
Like traveling diamond salesman.
Yeah, that'll come to me. I know exactly what you're talking about, but that'll come to me. But until it does,
yeah,
I just want to say. I loved him. Part of what's inspiring about him is that he genuinely is a working class actor, or was a working class actor throughout his career.
He probably like went to the SAG-AFTRA credit union in person.
Probably. Yeah, he probably did. And he knew that about himself, and he was proud of it, and he stuck it out no matter what. And for me personally, I think that's great. I think he was sort of a gift.
Well, he's also one of those, you know, one of those actors who was always so effortlessly genuine mm-hmm. in his presence on mm-hmm. screen, which is, you know, either something that, you know, you have a natural ability to do, or you work very, very, very hard on the craft side to make it seem that way.
Yeah, I think Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
I think I would say that it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely had an innate talent, but he was definitely a workhorse. Like, he did not...
Yeah.
He did not phone anything in. And that's what I love, you know, because you guys know I like shitty movies. I like B-movies.
Yeah.
And this guy was always good, even in his the worst shit.
Yeah,
he was fun to
watch. But it's like I think it's he was always, his performances were always egoless.
Yes, he was there to serve.
You know,
the story.
He wasn't.
He wasn't flashy.
Yeah, he wasn't flashy. Solid. He was solid. He was always giving what the role required, and not worrying about, you know, is this going to make me look good? Is this going to make me look bad?
Seem like decent, like a decent. He just projected decency. Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's like Alligator, what you're talking about. He had just had hair plugs put in, which we were talking about before. And he decided in the making of the movie, he's like basically told John Sayles, he's like, just write in this. Let's make a thing out of it. Rather than trying to cover it up,
right.
We'll make a thing out of me having shit hair. And I that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's great. Moving on to the other guy we lost, who is maybe you guys are less familiar with him, I don't know, is Sid Haig. Now,
you mean Galaxy of Terror, Sid Haig?
Oh, yes. I knew you would know that. Haig was...
I actually just watched that again recently.
Haig's really... His career is crazy awesome.
It's so all over the place,
but it's...
He's fucked up looking.
Yeah, he's crazy looking. He's more firmly rooted in, like, B-exploitation stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Forrester went back and forth between, like, B-stuff and A-list stuff. Haig did very little... in the A-list realm,
Tarantino put him in Jackie Brown too, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. Tarantino used him a bunch of times.
Yeah,
yeah. And he was in a Bond film, but he started. He was sort of a staple in blaxploitation movies directed by a guy named Jack Hill. A lot of them, you know, had Pam Grier in them and stuff. There was Women in Prison movies of the '70s, the Big Birdcage. Which was a Pam Grier movie, or The Big Dollhouse, rather, and The Big Birdcage was the sequel. And he appeared with Pam Grier in these other Pam Grier movies called Coffee. And Foxy Brown. You ever seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Coffee.
Very fun. He sort of honed his heavy character. He was always, like, mean, a guy who was beating people up for some more powerful gangster type. And this led him to popping up in George Lucas's debut feature, THX-1138.
He was
one of the crazy people in the Wallace prison.
Oh, okay.
And in
he's the bald guy in the White Void.
No, that's
everyone's in the White Void.
No, it's Robert Duvall, isn't it?
No, I was just
Duvall's the star of the movie, but Sid Haig was one of the people in the White Void.
If
that's what you mean. He was also in the James Bond movie Diamonds Are Forever, with Sean Connery. While he was doing that stuff, like as a heavy, he also sort of became a staple in low budge horror movies. There was one called Spider Baby.
Is it about a baby spider or a baby who turns into a spider?
It's
part baby, part spider.
I don't want to spoil
it. Or a baby made out of spiders.
Oh, you know what? Go ahead and spoil it.
It's a baby spider who turns out to be a spider baby. And then there...
Wait, what?
Don't worry about it. And then there's another movie he was in called Bloodbath. These movies were like late 60s, early 70s that he was doing. Now, he quit acting in 1992 because he was tired of always playing heavies and evil things. He became a hypnotherapist. During these 5 years, he left acting.
I did not know that.
He actually turned down the role of Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
Really?
Which was ultimately played by Ving Rhames. Because he felt like up to that point, he had done so much low-budget stuff. He was also doing a lot of TV. That was true about him and Forrester. They did a lot of TV, too.
Yeah.
So he was doing a lot of TV, but he felt like the movies he was doing were very low-budget, and it was hurting his career and his reputation. So when he got the offer for this Pulp Fiction movie, and he read the giant script, and then saw the shooting schedule and the budget, he felt like it was as shitty as all these low-budget movies that he had made, so he turned it down. Yeah, whoops.
Wow.
But
been in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, But he returned in 97 in a different Tarantino movie.
Well, yeah, that was the Jackie Brown. Yeah. Was he a judge?
He was the judge. Yes, good call. And Rob Zombie shortly thereafter gave him what is probably his most iconic character.
Yeah, don't confuse Rob Zombie with Rob Zombie.
I'm sorry.
They're totally different.
Yeah, I fucked that up.
Zombie's not even in the biz.
No, he's not. Zombie, nobody cares about that guy. The character's name, Captain Spaulding. He is like a clown-faced, creepy, scary guy. He was in House of a Thousand Corpses.
Right, okay.
And
yeah, Rejects. Yeah.
And I haven't seen it yet, but he appears briefly in Three from Hell as Captain Spaulding, although he was ailing at the time of the making of the movie, so he couldn't do that much. Yeah. But Zombie got him into the movie.
Is that a new Rob Zombie joint?
Yeah, it's a straight to video sequel to Devil's Rejects that just came out.
Okay.
I have not seen it. I cannot find a copy of it. It's sold out everywhere.
So sorry.
It's fuck.
It's not streaming anywhere?
No, it is, but I want to get the fucking Blu-ray, man. It's me. I'm like that.
You need the physical thing.
Yeah, I need the thing. He was very funny. He could play very sweet characters because he actually has played very sweet dads and stuff in certain movies. But he was also unafraid to be creepy as hell. and gross. I mean, like, he played so many gross characters that most actors would shy away from, because if you're that good at it, it gives people pause when you walk into a room after they've seen it. But I respect the hell out of him for being that way. So he's sort of this legendary character actor, mostly within the, you know, the horror nerd realm. And
yeah,
you know, horror nerds, they really love it. So both of these guys to me are a great inspiration, certainly to anyone struggling to make a career on the outskirts of Hollywood and late in life. And it's cool that Forrester was and Haig in a lot of ways were embraced by the mainstream in their later years. I think that's inspirational on a lot of levels. So we already talked about Forrester quite a bit, but I was just going to ask you guys if you had any thoughts on these two guys at all, outside of R.I.P.
Well, I did just recently rewatch Galaxy of Terror, because I hadn't seen it in several years,
mm-hmm.
and that's a Corman joint, right? Because mm-hmm. that's a Corman, it's like with a because that's with the early James Cameron art department guy, like early 80s. I think it's early, like 1980 or something. I think it's Terror. And I just saw it like within the last month, and I still can't remember. I can never remember what happens in it. It's just a crew of like a motley crew of weirdos on a spaceship that are sent to investigate some like a haunted planet or something.
Huh.
And Ray Walston is with them because he was the sci-fi street cred draw, My Favorite Martian.
I was wondering. Wait, yeah. Why, what's the? Oh yeah,
early. Yeah, so he had enough of a name at that point, I guess, to draw a couple of tickets, but and everyone just wanders around these dark blue sets, and then monsters attack them once in a while, and then this one monster attacks this one girl and like rips her jumpsuit off and then just like barfs on her.
Wow.
Covers her in gore. But Sid Haig, he's like the heavy of the group. He's like barely speaks.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just walks around and is like just looks around menacing, and he has these weird like plexiglass throwing stars that are his like space weapons, and he like hucks at things and then they just get stuck in walls.
Weird.
It's such a mess of a movie.
Well, but it is a galaxy of terror.
It was it, and everybody was scared.
Yeah,
so,
everybody was scared.
There was terror.
Yeah. Mm. Did you like Forrester?
I did like Forrester. I didn't know Haig, and I you forgot to send me the theme email. in my defense.
It's not a forgot. It was a mistake. It was I thought I hit.
You failed too.
Yeah, he didn't forget so much as fail.
I failed.
Right.
It wasn't forgetful.
So I fail to have much input on this because I wouldn't normally. I pride myself on being prepared.
I feel like I'm getting a lot of a guilt.
No, I'm really just explaining to all.
Like if you were on top of just
to the disappointed
all
listeners.
Our fans because being not prepared and not having anything to contribute is sort of my like it's anti to my work. You know,
but you're a showbiz industry insider, so even if
so, this is highly embarrassing.
No, I know.
This,
but like,
this could cripple his career.
If I chose to just tell Skelton and not you, it would have been because I would assume that you, knowing everything that you know about the industry, would be familiar with these kinds.
Right. I didn't, but I didn't know what we were going to talk.
He's
about.
He's sabotaging you.
But it doesn't you're matter. Sabotaging. It shouldn't have mattered that you didn't know. Like you should have. You should have the information ready to go because you're a student of showbiz.
But even
like
if
you the, know your shit.
Even if the topic was Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I would still like rewatch it and prepare for the topic, even though it's something I know really well.
So you would have rewatched what by those?
No, I just would have known who Sid Haig was.
But I told you right before
he probably would have watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off anyway. But
well, I apologize. I do. I mean, we could have taken 10 minutes for you to do a little search.
I don't know. I have nothing. But I like Bob Forrester. He feels. He always felt like he wasn't really acting. And he occupied that weird space of sort of effortless that almost bordered on not being polished. But there was something really just great about him that stood out to me. He didn't seem like an actor. He just felt like he inhabited. He had he seemed like one of the more relaxed actors I've ever met. I think or met seen. I feel like Jackie Brown. It struck me as like so unsweaty for someone who and unshowy for someone who this was like probably had a lot riding on.
Yeah.
On his performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would say even like John Travolta, you felt it a little bit in Pulp Fiction.
Sure.
He was going for
yeah. That it was his. This was his
Bob
big,
Forrester was
his
like,
big
this
break
is what I
game.
Do. Yeah, you know what I mean. Travolta was 100% successful.
Yeah,
and I think Robert Forrester was in a very different way.
Yeah, that's a good way. Of
no, he was. Yeah, Forrester was always like, you know, as an actor, especially like a screen actor, was always he was precise, but it never felt like it.
Yeah, and we'll forgive him for Last Man Standing. That's, you know, man's got to eat.
Yeah, it's he's a working class actor. You take the jobs you get. Yeah.
Last Man Standing, the Bruce Willis movie?
No,
Tim Allen.
TV show. He was on the
TV show. I was going to say, I don't remember Forrester in Last Man Standing.
I would just say R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yep.
guys.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was great. All right, here we go.
I've been screwed.
We're speaking of getting screwed. We're going to the courtrooms to see what kind of movie professional we're putting on trial for crimes against cinema.
Oye, oye, all rise. This court of cinema is now in session. The Right Honorable Todd Robert Anderson presiding, and that's it.
Who's our prosecutor?
Me.
Me. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Did you tell him there was going to be a trial today?
I'm not in charge of your email.
Oh.
I was prepared on this one.
Oh, okay, good.
Your Honor, if it so pleases the court.
Okay.
Born in the Pingtung County of southern Taiwan, this film professional went to school at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and then did film school at NYU. His name, of course, is Ang Lee. He started with the trilogy of Pushing Hands, The Wedding Basket, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman in the early 90s. Very well received.
Is it Ang or Ong?
Don't know, Your Honor.
I think it might be Ang Lee.
Okay, Ang Lee. Went on to take a severe 180 and do an adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Which was incredibly well received. Then made another big switch and did the domestic 70s drama, The Ice Storm.
Oh, God, yeah.
Continued to transition, maybe not quite as successfully, with the Western Ride with the Devil. Then went back to his native Chinese language to make Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a year later in 2000. Then he tried his hand at The Hulk. To, you know, varying degrees of success.
There was no the. Sorry, just Hulk. Tried his hand at Hulk.
At Hulk.
Didn't sound as good. Then climbed, tackled, and defeated Brokeback Mountain. Was not able to quit it. Did a little movie called Lust Caution. And then Life of Pi. The unadaptable Life of Pi. Mm. With all CGI animals and a young Indian boy.
Wow.
That's a hell of a career.
That is
it's
a hell of
pretty
that
wild.
Is a varied, interesting career. You can't pin him down. It was like early Rob Reiner. Just, you know, he would just jump from genre to genre, doing very unexpected things and doing them all incredibly well, or at least pretty well, with one exception, I thought. Your Honor, so that does not really speak to why he's here.
Okay, why is he?
Although it's part of it.
Mm.
Because it shows, well, it shows what can happen. His last two movies have scored 45 and 25% on Rotten Tomatoes after a career in the 90s and 80s, aside from Ride with the Devil and The Hulk, which were still in the 60s. And while that critical aggregator is a flawed system, it is not one that does not measure successful filmmaking to at least some degree. Your Honor, Mr. Lee is a consummate storyteller whose ability to jump across genres and defy expectation, telling well-crafted, sensitive, humanistic stories no one else could or would have made, have made him one of the most exciting directors in my lifetime. His fixation on high frame rates, Your Honor, 3D, that no one likes anymore, and other assorted digital crafts like de-aging, the promise of which cannot currently be matched by the technology, make him a danger to audiences and mostly to his own illustrious career, and threaten to needlessly sabotage the heretofore goodwill abundant legacy, not unlike Rudy Giuliani or Oscar Pistorius.
You just compared Ang Lee to Rudy Giuliani? Wow.
So I'm asking you, no, I'm talking about needlessly assassinate a sterling reputation.
I get you.
So I'm asking you to put forth a ruling that forbids Mr. Lee from using any of the following. High frame rate, 3D, VFX that isn't solely used for scene extension or CGI tigers, until the technology can catch up to his unique but oh-so-goddamn stubborn vision. Further, make sure he redirect the time and energy he would have spent on that nonsense on making sure the script didn't completely suck, as he did with Billy Flynn's long halftime walk and Gemini Man. He seems to have forgotten to do that lately.
Mm.
I yield the remainder of my time.
I totally agree with you. I'm going to find him guilty and sentence him to exactly what you suggest.
I think that's
a totally fair sentence. Jesus, Song.
That guy is... He's so good, and then he's then just gone down this road.
I think so many people, like, when they get to be that level of famous, they get too many yes men.
What?
I'm sorry, I thought I heard something spooky. Sorry.
I just wanted to make a point about, he's got his head up. There's probably not enough people to let go.
Whoa.
What?
I heard it that time.
I'm a vampire!
I know what that is.
Every time.
Goddamn Nick Cage.
Every time.
With the goddamn...
I never heard that at the end.
No, I never noticed that before. That means it's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bizarre line reading, where one of the pigs, this time it'll be Steve Skelton.
It will be.
Presents a line reading from a movie that somehow is crazy enough to match whatever the fuck it is Nick Cage does. But it's not necessarily Nick Cage. It could be anybody.
Could be anybody
being crazy. So what do you got, Steve?
Okay, this this line reading, it comes to us from alert listener Rachel Polish. Or I suppose it could be Polish, but I think it's probably Polish.
Okay.
Who sent us a tweet from Linda Holmes, NPR's pop culture happy hour host, referencing this scene from the 2013 rom-com What If, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Adam Driver, and Mackenzie Davis. Radcliffe is the male lead, and Driver plays his outrageous friend, and Mackenzie Davis is Driver's girlfriend. This scene, this is a short, very short clip. This scene starts in the kitchen with Radcliffe waiting patiently while Driver and Davis make out just before she leaves, and then Driver pulls a huge tray of snacks out of the oven.
Okay, bye, Wallace.
Bye, Nicole. Can I talk to you about something?
I just had sex. I'm about to eat nachos! Greatest moment of my life! Unless you screw it up with whatever it is you're about to say.
Wow.
And that was Minnie Driver in there? Is that what you said?
No, Adam Driver.
Oh, okay.
No, Mackenzie Davis from Terminator coming up. Yeah. Oh, what is that movie?
Catcher, What If?
I've never heard of that movie.
2013 rom-com.
It's got What If, and it's got three dots and a question.
Yeah,
I remember that movie.
What? Really?
I mean, I never saw it, but I remember seeing it. The marketing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah?
That you was a
good
it?
Line reading, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had to get the line, and I just watched
some
it.
Nachos!
Yeah.
That was from Rachel Polish.
Polish. I'm assuming it's Polish.
That was very nice of
Rachel. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
We'll do whatever you guys want. Just send us shit. We'll just do it.
Who wants to play a game? Trivia game.
I totally do. I do.
It's gonna be very simple.
I like that.
I'm not trying to make Skelton sink this up, so I'm being off key on purpose and off time.
Here's the game we're playing. It's called Forster Haig. It's very simple. I'll read a film synopsis according to IMDb. And you tell me which actor was in it.
Forster or Haig?
Robert Forster or Sid Haig?
Let me ask you this. Were they in any movies together?
Ooh.
Besides the aforementioned
Jackie Brown. I don't know.
No, other than Jackie Brown.
I don't
Brown,
think
no.
so, though, yeah.
I'll give you a point if you get it right.
Yeah.
And if you can name the movie. And that's going to be very hard because some of these are really obscure. But if you can name the movie.
All right.
That's two additional points on top of the one.
Ooh, two additional?
So you got a 50.
The bonus is twice the...
Well, because it's hard. Like, it's Forster or Haig. It's a 50-50. You can guess your way through this thing. Sense. But if you know the title...
Right, right.
And a couple of these will be obvious, but for the most part, I think you guys are going to have a very hard time.
Is Alligator Colon Orgy of Destruction one of the answers?
No, because
that is an unauthorized sequel.
It was not...
It was written.
It was never...
It was very good.
It was never made.
Mm-hmm. Had an alligator taking down a helicopter.
We should probably do one of those stage readings that are so popular.
He took down a helicopter, you guys.
He did. He did. Yeah. I need to open this beer.
Yeah, no, take your time.
I do like that you're using the sides, some sides.
I ran out of paper and all I had was old audition sides.
You know, we could just wait if you want to polish off that beer there.
No, this is fresh. Just relax. All right, let's do a Rochambeau real fast to see who goes first. Rochambeau. Both have scissors. It's amazing. But you knocked off your headphone.
Right, so that
so you lose.
So I lose.
Fog is first.
that's fair.
Rock, scissors, headphones.
All right. Stephen Falk, here's your synopsis. A land baron tries to reconnect with his two daughters after his wife is seriously injured in a boating accident. Forster or Haig?
I'm going to say Forrester.
You are correct. Can you name the movie?
I want to say it's that King Lear adaptation. But I can't remember what that was called, so I don't know.
This is The Descendants, is what it
Oh, The Descendants. I was going to say Sad Boating Accident.
That's not the one.
It's what the title was.
Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Male chauvinist Mike attempts to get an intelligent, burgeoning feminist Delilah into his harem. When she resists, Mike then poses as his brother Herbert, but in the process falls in love with Delilah.
Okay, that's Sid Haig.
That is correct.
And that's one of the exploitations, so I'm going to say...
Mike and Herbert.
Mike and Herbert.
That would be a good title. But it's one of the exploitation ones, so it's going to be...
What makes you say that?
Is it one of the newer... Is it one of the...
Harem.
Is it one of the... Harem? Is it just harem?
No. It's called... The movie is called It's a Bikini World.
I don't know. I don't know how I missed that.
I don't know how you screwed that up. You fucked up big time. All right, Falk.
That was the King Lear adaptation. It's a Bikini World.
A crazed artist who believes himself to be the reincarnation of a murderous vampire kills young women, then boils their bodies in a vat.
Haig.
That is correct. Can you name the movie?
Vincent Van Gogh.
That would be a great title.
No, but it is the aforementioned Bloodbath. Steve Skelton.
Yes.
A nice guy cop with dissociative identity disorder must protect a woman on the run from a corrupt ex-boyfriend and his associates.
Forster.
Correct. Can you name the movie?
Shit.
Nice guy cop.
Which one is it? That's my question.
Nice guy cop.
Which one is it?
Nice guy cop with dissociative identity disorder.
I'm going to... Maniac cop.
No. This is me, myself, and Irene.
The nice guy cop
is Jim Carrey. Stephen Falk. You guys are tied. Stephen Falk.
Thank you.
After being double-crossed and left for dead, a mysterious man named Walker single-mindedly tries to retrieve the money that was stolen from him. Haig or Forster?
Can you read it? Repeat it.
Yes, I can. After being double-crossed and left for dead, a mysterious man named Walker single-mindedly tries to retrieve the money that was stolen from him.
I'm going to go on a curveball and say Haig.
That is correct.
Yes.
And can you name the movie?
Walker.
No, it's called Point Blank. It's important to remember that a lot of these movies, these guys are supporting roles.
No, I know. Yeah. That's why I picked Haig.
It was a good guess.
Point Blank? Which one?
Point Blank. It was from 68.
The 60s. Point Blank.
Okay.
Skelton.
Yeah.
A baby alligator is flushed down a Chicago toilet and survives.
Alligator. Robert Forster.
All right. That's 3 points. Steve Falk.
That was a gimme. That was such a gimme.
There's gimmies in here. Steve Falk, a security specialist, is forced into robbing the bank that he's protecting as a bid to pay off his family's ransom.
Inside Man?
Just Forrester? Tell me Forrester. Yes, Forrester is correct.
It's not Inside Man.
It's not Inside
Man. What is it?
Firewall.
The Harrison Ford?
Wow.
Yes. Firewall? Oh, jeez.
Skelton.
Yeah.
A female cop is gunned down and wrongly accused of using excessive force in a hostage rescue attempt. Somebody, name redacted, returns from the dead once more to seek revenge, destroying everything and anyone that stands in his way.
Wait, read that again?
Okay. A female cop is gunned down and wrongly accused of using excessive force in a hostage rescue attempt.
Okay.
Name redacted. Returns from the dead once more to seek revenge, destroying everything and anyone that stands in his way.
Returns from the... I'm going to say Forster.
That is correct. Can you name the movie?
Maniac Cop 3.
That's correct. Can you do the...
Oh, shit, the subtitle!
Oh, give it to him.
No!
No, I'll give it to him.
No!
Give it to him.
I can't think of it.
I just fucked up my mic on this whole thing. God damn it.
What are you doing?
I just realized I had my mic on the wrong setting this whole time. Greg Jones is going to complain.
Oh, man.
God damn. I'm sorry, guys. All right.
What's the full title?
Badge of Silence. Maniac Cop 3.
Silence.
Badge of Silence. All right. Next, Steve Falk. A caretaker devotes himself to three demented siblings after their father's death.
The Disorderlies. No.
Let's start with that. Let's start with the actor.
Haig.
Right. And can you name the movie?
Elder Care.
No, Spider Baby. The maddest story ever told.
It's wow. Spider Baby? That's Spider Baby?
That doesn't sound like a good... it's no. Like a waste of the title.
No. Skeleton.
Yeah.
A young female embezzler arrives at a motel which has terrible secrets of its own.
The hotel has secrets?
Motel, yeah.
Oh.
I redacted a name here as well.
Forster?
Correct.
Is this the Gus Van Sant psycho?
That is correct.
Wow.
Steve Falk. So far we got...
I've been screwed.
Screwed.
Yeah.
No, but that was a 10. Good call. You earned that. That made up for the gimme.
Falk is 5. Skeleton is 10. Falk is 5. In 1946, North Africa, two former U.S. Air Force pilots are forced to work for an international smuggler to get money needed for their return to civilian life after fighting in World War II.
Forrester?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Haig. Do you want to guess the title?
No.
All right.
Monuments Men.
It's called The Hell with Heroes.
I've never seen that.
Skeleton.
Yeah.
Grant Willard sponsors drivers in a new form of race car driving called the Figure Eight. The rise and fall of one such driver is the whole story behind this movie.
Race car story. But it could be... Oh, I'm going to say... Forster.
Nope.
It's Haig. It's Haig. What's the movie?
Pit Stop.
Pit Stop? So, yeah, okay, yeah.
All right.
I see a flaw with the figure eight race chart.
Wait, what? Why? Because you can crash in the middle.
Middle. Yeah. Middle sounds dangerous. But
you have to. Is there a bridge? Is a bridge?
I don't think so.
No, it's just all.
I'm just saying that sounds like what it probably is. All right.
Okay, that makes sense.
If it's an exploitation movie.
Yeah.
True. All right, Steve Falk, a 14-year-old orphan. Becomes an NBA superstar after trying on a pair of sneakers with the faded initials MJ inside.
I'm going to say Forrester.
That is correct.
Like Mike.
That is correct.
Nice. Nice. I was
pulled that one out of the depth of my blockbuster.
My brain's going, is it like Mike or be like Mike? Is it like Mike
exactly
or be like
exactly what I said.
Great
nice.
Job.
Nice pull.
All right, Skeleton.
Yep.
Desert Storm vet who was killed in combat rises from the grave to kill the unpatriotic citizens of his hometown after some teens burn an American flag over his burials.
Okay, well, Haig.
Nope.
It's Forrester?
Yes.
Oh, this is that one that we talked about, mm-hmm. And it's called... Damn it.
But I thought you said Vietnam before, and when you were talking about it.
What did I just say on this?
Desert Storm.
I was wrong before.
Ah. It's like the twisted.
It's like
Rambo.
An Uncle Sam thing, but I can't remember the title.
You sure?
I can't remember.
Take
it's
a
Uncle,
wild stab.
Uncle Stab.
Oh, it's just Uncle Sam.
It's Uncle Sam.
It's just Uncle Sam?
You were so close. Uncle Stab.
This is bullshit. Uncle Stab's better.
All right.
No, it's not.
There's a buttload of words in this one, so hang in. Jesus. Motorcycle mechanic CC Ryder joins the Heads, an outlaw biker gang. Fellow gang members menace fashion journalist Anne when her limo breaks down in the desert, but Name Redacted comes to her rescue. The bikers disrupt a motocross event tied in with a fashion shoot, but Name Redacted enters the competition under Anne's admiring eye. His win puts him at odds with Moon, leader of the Heads. When Name Redacted leaves with his cut of the purse, the bikers kidnap Anne, and Name Redacted races Moon to win her freedom.
I'm guessing Haig.
That is correct.
He's probably one of the goons. I mean, that's such a, like, a plot could be a million movies.
Yeah, it really could.
Motorcycle fashion show.
You know what? It's like everything. I'm going to throw a hint at you. All the Name Redacted are just CC. The initials CC.
So maybe the movie's just CC Rider.
Close.
What is it?
CC and Company. Yeah. But good, you got the Haig. Skeleton, yep. It's now 10 to 9, by the way.
Ooh.
Skeleton. Close. A Los Angeles taxi driver helps a distraught young woman on the run from gangsters after they murder her husband and young son.
Forster.
Correct.
Did they murder her? Can I get the plot again?
Yes, a Los Angeles taxi driver helps a distraught young woman on the run from gangsters after they murder her husband and young son.
Fucking gangsters.
I can't think of it.
Yeah, it's Walking the Edge.
Ugh, yeah, no, I would not have even come close.
All right, here you go, Steve Falk. In the 25th century, a time when people have designations instead of names, a man and a woman rebel against their rigidly controlled society. Takes place in the 20th
century. I'm going to guess Haig.
Correct.
Kind of sounds oddly familiar, but... Space Wars.
Close. THX 113.
Oh, shit.
But good, you got Haig.
Fuck.
Nice. So 11 to 10, Skelton's still in the lead. Skelton.
Yeah.
Beautiful women prisoners are abused in a Philippine prison until five of them plot an escape by taking the evil female warden hostage with the reluctant help of two male fruit vendors.
Okay, Haig.
That is correct.
Papayas y mangoes.
Can you help us? No, I'm not. I don't know. I don't want to help.
I can't. There's no title. I can't do the title.
The Big Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Well, fine.
It's one of the better women in prison movies of the 70s. Fault. After a car wreck on the winding iconic drive renders a woman amnesiac, she and a perky Hollywood hopeful search for clues and answers across Los Angeles in a twisting venture beyond dreams and reality.
Forrester?
That is correct. Can you name the film?
Can you name it? Can you say it again, please?
Certainly. After a car wreck on the winding, iconic drive renders a woman amnesiac, she and a perky Hollywood hopeful search for clues.
Oh, Mulholland Drive.
That is correct.
Yep, nice.
Now it is 13 to 12. Oh. Falk has taken the lead. This is so exciting.
How many more are there?
Shitloads.
Because are you kidding?
Like, no, there's a lot. Yeah, just but hold in. This is like extra hot great style. We're doing it for real. All right, Skeleton.
Thought we were close.
A diamond smuggling investigation leads somebody to Las Vegas, where he uncovers an evil plot involving a rich business tycoon.
Wait, read that again?
Sure. I'm redacting a name. A diamond smuggling investigation leads Name Redacted to Las Vegas, where he uncovers an evil plot involving a rich business tycoon.
Haig.
Correct.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Correct. You now have 15. Speaking to 13. Steve Falk. A technician brings a frozen specimen of the original monster back from the North Pole. When his wife accidentally defrosts it, it terrorizes the populace, including the local hippies, kittens, and bowlers.
Bowlers?
I'm going to say Forrester.
Nope.
The Beast?
It's Haig, and it's Beware the Blob, which is the movie that J.R. shot.
Oh, Beware the Blob.
Who?
Larry Hagman, is that his name?
Yeah, from Dallas, yeah.
It was the one feature film he directed. Oh. Beware the Blob, sequel to Blob.
Good for him.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Great job, Larry.
Skeleton. Okay. A black nurse takes vigilante justice against inner city drug dealers after her sister becomes their latest victim.
Oh, well, that's going to be Haig.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, which one is it?
I'm
mixing them up. Coffee.
Good call. Yes.
Wow. Correct. Shit.
So now you're at 18 and you're at 13, but this is tight stuff.
But we've got 300 more to go, so.
Right. All right, here we go. Falk, after a plane is hijacked by terrorists, an elite military team is sent in to resolve the crisis.
Forrester?
Correct.
Can you repeat it?
Yeah, I certainly can. After a plane is hijacked by terrorists, an elite military team is sent in to resolve the crisis.
Airplane, elite squad.
You're going after the comedies here.
What?
You're saying comedy names.
Oh, no. I was going through the title. I mean, the plot. Is it Air Force One?
No.
What is it?
The Delta Force.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
The skeleton.
Yeah.
The name redacted investigate a series of murders which occur after the theft of a witness protection profile database.
Forrester.
Correct.
Did I get Forrester on that last one?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you read the plot summary again?
The name redacted investigate a series of murders which occur after the theft of a witness protection profile database.
U.S. Marshals.
No.
Damn it. What was it?
Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. Falk. A voluptuous black woman takes a job as a high-class prostitute in order to get revenge on the mobsters who murdered her boyfriend.
Foxy Brown? Forrester? Haig, Foxy
Brown. Nice save. It's a three-pointer.
You got coffee, so.
Yeah, so he's at 19, you're at 17, Steve Falk. All right, Skeleton.
Yeah.
A hapless Los Angeles private detective is hired by a shady millionaire to search for the man's missing teenage heiress, while at the same time, the detective's estranged teenage niece arrives in town and wants in on the case.
Read that again.
Sure. A hapless Los Angeles private detective is hired by a shady millionaire to search for the man's missing teenage heiress, while at the same time, the detective's estranged teenage niece arrives in town and wants in on the case.
Forrester?
Almost sounds like Lebowski.
Yeah, that's why it's screwing with me, because it's not Lebowski.
But that's correct. Can you name it? If you can, I'll be fucking blown away.
Yeah, I cannot.
Hollywood Harry is the name of the movie.
Steve
Falk. A team of specialists is dispatched to protect the leader of a Middle Eastern country from a neighboring dictator who has designs on his own country.
Haig?
Nope. Forrester. I don't suppose you can name the movie.
No, what is it?
Counterforce.
Counterforce. That's just like a... And let's just go with the working title.
Skeleton.
Yeah.
Science fiction suspense thriller in which a rescue spaceship crew meets up with horrors projected by their own imagination.
What?
Oh, I know that.
Wait.
Oh, you can't think of the name.
No, that's, Hague.
Correct.
Galaxy of Terror.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't, because neither of them are in Event Horizon.
Okay. Right. And Event Horizon was a ripoff of
Galaxy of Terror. Terror. Yeah.
Fault. This film chronicles the search and rescue patrol of a medical ship in deep space in the early 22nd century, and its six-member crew, which includes a captain and pilot, a co-pilot, a medical officer, a medical technician, a search and rescue. It's a terrible, terrible synopsis, but that's what IMDb gave me.
Forrester?
That is correct. I still can picture the trailer for this movie in my head. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me.
I don't know.
It's Supernova.
Oh, fuck. Supernova. Oh.
It's a Walter Hill movie that he took his name off of. But you get to see Angela Bassett and James Spader fuck in space. So
I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah. Skeleton.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting near the end. A princess in the Amazon rainforest tries to fight a conglomerate threatening the forest by going to Los Angeles. There she links up with a rich kid who tells her that she must get on TV to succeed with her mission. The two come up with the idea of winning a Lambada dance contest that is getting TV attention.
What? Read it again. Read it again.
A princess in the Amazon rainforest tries
to... There were like a lot of twists.
Yeah. Too many things happening.
A princess in the Amazon rainforest tries to fight a conglomerate threatening the forest by going to Los Angeles. There, she links up with a rich kid who tells her that she must get on TV to succeed with her mission. The two come up with the idea of winning a Lambada dance contest that is getting TV attention.
Hague.
Correct.
It's Lambada, the Forbidden Dance of Love.
No.
All right.
It's simply called the Forbidden Dance.
Oh, God damn it.
But good try. Because the other one was called...
It was called Lambada, the Forbidden Dance. Yeah.
There was no love. There was no love.
There was no love involved?
There was no love. But this is one of the performances that I was saying Hague was very sweet in. He's the dad. Falk.
He was the Jerry Orbach.
A crew of former gang members take back their Gary, Indiana hood from the Uzi-toting gangbangers who have taken over, featuring blaxploitation stars Pam Grier, Richard Roundtree, Ron O'Neill, and more. And more.
Hague?
Nope.
What? Oh, fuck. You already said you... Shit.
Oh.
Right, you talked about this one.
Can you name it?
Last time.
No, original gangsters.
Fuck.
Skeleton.
Yeah.
Two young couples traveling across the backwoods of Texas searching for urban legends of murder end up as prisoners of a bizarre and sadistic backwater family of serial killers.
Hague.
Correct.
Is it... Oh, shit. It's either... Is it Devil's Rejects?
Nope.
No, it's... Was it...
House of a Thousand
Corpses. So many corpses.
Yeah.
The bride continues her quest of vengeance against her former boss and lover, the reclusive bouncer Bud, and the treacherous one-eyed L. Or Ellie? I think it's L.
Is that Kill Bill Volume 2?
That's the right title. Who's that in it?
Forrester?
Nope.
Oh.
I was Hague.
But I'll give you the two
but
for the title.
But you get the two for the title. Good.
So you've got... 25, and Falk, you have 20. Here we go.
It's a lot less.
It is. But you know how these things go. Skeleton.
Yeah.
An American FBI agent is lured away by the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza, in this action film.
That's it?
That's all you get.
American FBI. Forster?
Mm-hmm.
Just read it one more time. It won't help. But just
an American FBI agent is lured away by the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza, in this action film.
Black Rain's the only thing I can think of. It's got Yakuza in it, but those are cops, not FBIs. So I don't know.
American Yakuza.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's a short sentence, but all the words of the title are in it.
Damn it.
Falk. After being committed for 17 years, name redacted, now a grown man and still very dangerous, escapes from the mental institution and immediately returns to Haddonfield to find his baby sister.
Omen Part 2?
Are you serious?
What? I just guessed that.
No. What, do you want to guess the actor?
Haig?
That is correct. Haig is correct. Your title is way off. It's Halloween. Skelton, two longtime rival high school football coaches lead their respective teams into battle for the city football championship. However, before the opening kickoff, various students from each school try to do whatever it takes to throw the opposing team off their game. What a bunch of jerks.
I'm going to say Forster.
That is correct.
And this is, sounds like a studio comedy. Football, high school football. Football, high school. Football.
High school.
High school.
Football at Forster High. Forster, I don't know.
So close. Heartbreak High.
Harp.
It's one of those like early 80s sexy movies, teenage sex shows. Fall. When his wife and son are brutalized by thugs and a corrupt criminal justice system puts the perpetrators back on the street, Jesus Christ, how many times has that happened? A New York City factory worker turns vigilante to find some measure of bloody justice.
Forster?
Correct.
This is the Death Wish ripoff you said about, and I don't remember what it was called, so... Vengeance.
So close. It's just called Vigilante.
Oh, fuck. I was going to guess that. Damn it.
Just Vigilante. Not trying that hard.
I was too close.
I like on-the-nose action movies. It's a thing. All right, Skelton.
Uh-huh.
The murderous backwoods Firefly family take to the road to escape a vengeful police force which is not afraid of being as ruthless as their target.
That's Haig. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the Devil's Rejects.
Correct. Falk. Mm. Oh, this is a big one. After being imprisoned for 10 years, they are back at it again. Otis escapes prison, meets Winslow, and devises a plan to get his sister baby out, too. The Rejects make their way down the road and into Mexico, killing countless people on their way. They find a place to stay, but are soon bombarded with a large group of killers. Killers who are after these, name redacted. Only one group can come out alive. And with the experience these three have, it'll just have to be one great killing joyride.
Haig?
Correct.
Devil's Rejects 2? What?
No, it's called Three from Hell.
It really did sound like a devil. No,
you said rejects. You did.
Well, yeah, they are. They're the Devil's Rejects. They're called the Rejects, but the new movie is called Three.
Oh,
it is a Devil's Rejects. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a sequel. Skelton.
Uh-huh.
The vacationers at a winter wonderland struggle to survive after an avalanche of snow crashes into their ski resort. Their holiday then turns into a game of survival.
Haig.
Incorrect.
Avalanche.
That is correct.
He likes on the nose.
Skelton, 5.
I hate avalanches of snow.
I know, they're the worst of the avalanches.
32 to 23. 32 for Skelton.
The best avalanche of flavor.
Skelton 1, you guys did great. I'm really proud of you both.
Oh, it's that was it.
That was all. That was all 40 questions. It was 40.
40.
40 it questions.
Took 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it...
Don't be sad.
It's time for the bottom five.
It was fun.
And I hate to do this, but I'm going to just do the worst of Haig and Forster.
Mm. Combined?
Yeah.
So 10 or 5?
Yeah. There's 5 of them.
They're, for each?
No.
Just 5 total.
Five total.
Okay.
The first one is Forster as a Lebanese terrorist in the horrible Chuck Norris vehicle Delta Force. It's just bad. All around bad. But not to be unmatched, Haig as Abdul the Arab.
Oh, God.
In Bloodbath.
Yeah.
Then
at least he's dark-skinned, Haig.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that's true. The Black Hole, which is the worst G-rated sci-fi film ever made with Forrester as the captain. This I saw in the theater, and it hurt my soul. Night of the Living Dead 3D. Starring Sid Haig, which is just was taking advantage of the public domain thing with Night of the Living Dead, which is fucked up and also was awful. And it was like old school 3D. With
the cellophane glasses.
Yeah, the cellophane glasses. Horrible. Finally, I'm sorry to say this, but it's Jackie Brown. They're both in it. It's not a great movie. They're kind
that of. That can't be. Of those 40 wasted. Movies. Jackie Brown's one of the worst 5.
Yeah, that's a little...
For me, yeah. It was a deeply disappointing movie. That's just my opinion. Now for a moment of positivity. Hey, here's what I love about these two guys, Sid Haig and Bob Forster. They just wanted to work. They just like working.
Yeah.
I like that about those guys. That's it.
Probably had kids to send to school and tuna melts to buy at Silver Spoon.
Well, but they weren't Bruce Willising it. It wasn't like sad. They approached their work with exuberance.
No, what I'm saying is they want to pay their mortgage and not buy half of Idaho.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah.
That's
true. But also, I mean, I would say that when you talk about guys who are, like have 87 kids or have like pyramids, gravestones in New Orleans or whatever, their like work tends to get sad and feel uninvolved, whereas these two guys—they
got
to
pay for their obligations.
When they did it, they were doing it passionately all the time, no matter how bad or good it was. I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam Blau.
Oh yes,
thanks, Adam Blau, for the music.
Thanks, Steve Skelton and Steve Falk.
I'm Steve Falk.
I'm Steve Skelton.
I love you guys very much. Happy Halloween.
Me too.
To all of you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
It's almost November, you guys. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
In the immortal words of one of my kids' favorite books, my 4-year-old, relax, silly chickens. It's Halloween.